Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Mind the gap! Mind the gap!
Mind the gap, ladies and gentlemen, because this episode is all about the London Underground. And in this episode, you're going to listen to a conversation between me and my cousin Oliver and our friend Pasquale as we talk about using the London Underground and giving you some particularly good and very useful advice on exactly how you should use the Underground effectively. Now, in London, basically, there's about 7 million people living in London. And as well as that, we get millions of tourists visiting the city every year. And particularly next year, 2012, because of the Olympic Games, there will be an estimated something ridiculous like another 6 million people are going to come to the city. So we thought it would be very important to give some advice, share some tips on how you should use the Underground to make sure it doesn't get blocked and doesn't get too crowded. Now, for people who live in London, there are basically two types of tourist. Okay. Now, on one hand, you've got the bad tourists. Now, these are the ones who come to the city in large numbers, and they don't know how to operate. They don't realise that they're visiting a city which is full of people who need to get from A to B as quickly as possible because they need to do their job. Right. So these tourists, they come because they're on holiday, they don't realise, and they just come and they might, for example, just stand around in the street in large groups, just blocking the street, or they would get into the Underground system and just sort of stop in a passageway and look at their tourist maps because they're trying to work out where to go. And all of the time they're just blocking people, getting in the way, making life difficult for the ordinary Londoners who have to get from A to B in order to do their work, right? So that's the bad tourists. Those are the ones who are just sort of like standing around in the street just going, oh, la, 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 I'm just having a lovely holiday. And meanwhile, the rest of London gets blocked behind them. Then on the other hand, you've got the good tourists. And these are the ones who kind of do a little bit of research before they come to the city. And they realise that they're not just going on holiday to a city, but they're also becoming part of a very complicated system of people moving around, right? And they realise that really to appreciate the city properly, they've got to sort of think about using the underground system or the buses or whatever. They've just got to think about moving around as if there were real Londoners. So they realise that they're in a city which is full of people moving around, and they just kind of keep cool and they go to the cool places and they don't get in the way too much, and they see what London is really like rather than just living in some sort of dream world holiday kind of thing, right? So now in this episode, hopefully, you'll get some advice which will allow you to be one of those good tourists, one of the cool tourists. I don't know, maybe you already live in London. Maybe you're learning English here and you live here in London, in which case you'll probably use the Underground every day. And so you should definitely follow this advice. It'll really help you. Or maybe you're not even learning English. Maybe you're just a teacher of English or just someone who enjoys listening to this podcast. And maybe you live in London too. Well, you use the Underground as well. So why don't you listen to this as well and use it to kind of, give you a few ideas, or maybe how you can get on that crowded train that you keep missing, or how you can just get a seat if usually you can't find a seat. There's an art to using the underground, and you're going to learn about it in this episode. Now, let me just give you a few facts about the London Underground. Well, basically, there, as I've said, there are more than 7 million residents in London. Every day, millions of people use the underground. It's the oldest underground railway in the world. It was first opened in 1890. Londoners call it the Tube, or the Tube, but most people say Tube. That's because the shape of the tunnels is a bit like a tube. They call it the Tube, right? Or the Underground. In France, in Paris, they call it the Metro. That's the Paris Metro is their underground system. In New York, the underground system is called the Subway. And then here in London, it's called the Underground or the Tube. And it's an international icon for London. You probably know the logo for the London Underground, the blue circle with the red horizontal line. You probably know the London Underground map, because that's also a kind of cultural icon which represents London. It's a design classic, the London Underground map, and it was developed with many different stages, and it's now very famous, the London Underground map. There are 270 stations on the Underground and 402 kilometres of track. Each year, more than 1 billion individual journeys are made. It's the third biggest metro system in Europe after Moscow and Paris. And it's the second biggest, it's the third busiest metro system in Europe after Moscow and Paris. And it's the second biggest metro system in the world after Shanghai. So what else can I tell you about this episode? Well, you're going to get some advice. Like I said, the conversation you're going to hear is between me and my cousin Ollie, Oliver. Now, Ollie is a very, very close friend of mine and my cousin. We are basically the same age. He's 2 weeks older than me. Pasquale is a friend of both of ours, and he's from Montreal in Canada, but he's been living in London for 3 years. Now, Ollie has been using the underground to get to work every day for 10 years. Every day he spends 2 hours on the underground. That's 1 hour to get to work and 1 hour to get back. 2 hours every day for 10 years. That pretty much makes him kind of an expert on the London Underground, in my opinion. He knows all the secrets. He knows how to get a seat. He knows the best ways to make sure that you don't block the corridors and that you can find the exit points easily. He's a master of using the Underground. He's got some very advanced tips to give you. Pasquale has been living in London for 3 years, even though originally he's from Canada. You'll be able to hear his Canadian accent, in fact. But he's been living in London for 3 years. He doesn't really like using the underground because he thinks it's too crowded and it's not very healthy. He prefers to cycle, which is even more dangerous, in my opinion. If you cycle on the streets of London, you've got to be some sort of crazy adrenaline junkie or something. But I guess that's what he likes to do, and it gets him from A to B. So you're going to listen to us talking. Now, the conversation is pretty quick because there's three of us. And so we give bits of advice. Now, I thought I would summarize the advice for you just to make it useful, so you can just hear the advice basically from me now, and then you can listen to the conversation and enjoy it, and you'll know basically what we're talking about. So it should help you to understand the conversation. Let me just summarize the advice now. Now, this advice really comes from Ollie, because he's the heavy user of the underground, right? He says, first thing, you've got to keep moving. Don't stop, okay? Keep moving. So when you get to the gates, you must have your Oyster card ready. An Oyster card is an electronic ticket, and you can top up the Oyster card with credit. So you put money on it before you travel. And then when you go through the gates, you beep the Oyster card. Beep, like that, on a sensor. You beep it, and that automatically takes some credit away from your card, okay? So you don't need to keep paying for a ticket every time you travel. You top up at the beginning of the week, and then you just beep in and beep out. So you must have your Oyster card ready. Don't block everyone by going through your pockets trying to find your Oyster card. Women, get your Oyster card ready, because there's nothing more time consuming than waiting for you to find your Oyster card in your handbag. Because we know that a handbag is a bit like, it's like the TARDIS, you know, from Doctor Who. They look small, but inside there's massive amounts of space. So get your Oyster card out of your handbag before you get to the gate. Then you won't block everyone. You won't waste time that way, okay? Next thing, when you're using the escalators, by the way, are those electronic stairs, the stairs that kind of automatically take you down or up, the escalators. When you're using the escalators in London, you must stand on the right and let passengers walk past you on the left. It's one of the worst things that tourists do. The thing that annoys Londoners the most is when tourists get onto the escalator and they just stop. They stand in the middle and they block it and people can't get past. So if you're lazy and you don't want to walk up or down the escalator, you must make sure you're standing on the right and there's enough space to the left. So stand on the right of the escalator. When you reach the station platform, don't stop there. Oh, no, 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 no. You must keep moving. Move down the platform. The same goes for when you get onto the train. Don't just stop when you get onto the train. You must move down inside the car. Move down inside the carriage, because you've got to remember there's a million Londoners behind you who want to get on that train. So you must make space. Don't be shy. Move down inside the carriage, right? Now, here are some tips for getting on the train when it's really crowded. Now, these are some advanced level tips, and Oliver will tell you more about them during the conversation you're going to listen to, right? So here's one tip. You should find the exit from the platform and stand there, because when the train comes in, all of the clever travellers will have got onto that car near where the exit will be, and they will all exit the train at that point, and then you will just stand to one side, let them all exit, and then you can slip into the train, and there'll definitely be space because everyone's got off near the exit, right? That's some pretty clever advanced level stuff. The other thing is, how do you know where the doors will stop? It's difficult to know where the doors will stop. In Japan, there are markings on the platform that tell you exactly where the doors will stop. That's not the case in London. So how do you know where the doors will stop? Well, one thing you can do is look at the yellow line. There's one yellow line on the platform that you should stand behind so that you're safe. Look at that yellow line. And where the paint has worn down, you'll know that that's when the doors open. People get off the train there and they step on the yellow line and they wear down the paint. Then, you know, if you can see that the paint has been worn down, you know that's where the doors are going to open. So you stand there. Clever, isn't it? Clever stuff. Stand near where the paint has been worn away, because that's where the doors will be. Then the doors will open right near you. You let people get off first, and then you can get on the train. Bingo. You've got a seat. You can relax. You can chill out. You can read a book or just chill. Whatever you want to do, right? Because you've managed to find that most coveted prize on the London Underground, and that's a seat, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. So next thing that you're going to hear about is etiquette. Now, etiquette basically means like things you should do or things you shouldn't do in a social situation. Etiquette, right? So let's see. Etiquette, when you get etiquette, let's see, you should get out of the way. So if you're going to stop on the platform, make sure you get out of the way so you can let people pass. It's common sense, really. Next thing is, when the train stops and the doors open, let the passengers off the train first. Give them space to get off that train. I know that there's 100 people on the platform and they all want to get onto the train. They all want to get a seat, but you still have to be polite. You must make space. Let the passengers off the train first and then get on and then move down inside the carriage, right? Now, if you're wearing a backpack, if you're wearing a rucksack, a big bag on your back, you should take that off, because otherwise you're going to use up a lot of space. Take the bag off your back, put it down by your feet. It creates more space. When you must pay attention to your personal hygiene. That's basically, you've got to try and stay clean. because it's horrible if there's BO. Do you know what BO means? Well, it's body odour, right? BO. BO can be horrible on the underground. If you're trapped next to a guy who's got a BO, oh, it can make you feel really sick. It can destroy your day and put you in a really bad mood. So before you get on the underground, check the BO situation, okay? Make sure you're using some nice deodorant, yeah? Keep yourself clean. Next thing, don't listen to music too loud on your iPod, right? Because otherwise you will distract and irritate the other passengers. So there's nothing more annoying than that. Throughout your journey, it's just really annoying. Secondly, if you've got a mobile phone that plays music, use some headphones. Don't just play the music out loud. No one cares about your music. So use some headphones and don't play the music too loud, okay? Don't eat smelly food. That's disgusting. Don't go onto the don't take your McDonald's onto the train unless you have to, unless you're dying of hunger or something. Don't bring the McDonald's or the pizza or the kebab onto the train. It's disgusting, all right? Eat first, travel second. Something like that. It's some kind of rule there. Don't bring smelly food onto the underground. If you see an elderly person, an old person, if you see a disabled person, an injured person, or a pregnant woman, you're very unlikely to see a pregnant man. So that's, you don't worry about that. A pregnant woman, pregnant person. If you see any of those things, please consider giving up your seat for that person. That's just politeness. And it's also one of the rules of etiquette on the underground. If you don't give up your seat, you're going to look like a nasty, horrible person. And there's nothing worse than being a nasty, horrible person, is there? Oh, no, there isn't. So give up your seat to elderly, injured, disabled or pregnant people. Don't talk too loudly. Don't shout on the underground. It's not a social club. Keep it peaceful if you can. We're all stuck on one of these trains under the ground. It's not the most fantastic experience, but don't spoil it by shouting across the train at your friends. It's just antisocial. Be a bit considerate, okay? So no antisocial behavior. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much the basic advice that we give. Now you can listen to the conversation between me and Ollie and Pasquale and enjoy it. Do enjoy the conversation, and you will be able to listen to more episodes from Luke's English Podcast very soon. That's it. Enjoy the conversation. Bye. Okay, let me start then by introducing my two guests here on the podcast today. To my right, I have Mr. Oliver Thompson.
Hello.
Hello, Oliver. And Oliver is my cousin. That's true.
That's correct. My father is your father's brother.
Your father is my father's brother.
Yes.
That's not confusing at all, is it?
No.
So, that's right. My dad and his dad are brothers, which pretty much makes us cousins. It does.
First cousins,
exactly. And to my left, I have Mr. Pasquale Tropea, right? So that's how I pronounce your surname.
That sounds good.
And so, Pasquale, where are you from, in fact, first of all?
I'm originally from Montreal, Canada, mm-hmm. and I've been living in London for the last 3 years now.
Okay. Right, I see. How's London?
It's amazing. I don't know. It's difficult to kind of sum up in a few words, but it's a very busy city. It's got lots of people and lots of activities,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. It's up there in terms of cool things, cool places to live.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's one of the cool. It's no. Let's face it. It's the best place in the world
on planet Earth.
Yeah. Well, no, just in the universe.
Really. The universe.
Yeah, it's better than. I mean, apparently that some of the planets that orbit Jupiter are pretty good, but I think none of them really compare to...
None of them have a capital city like London.
Yeah, not West London specifically.
Yeah.
It's better than everywhere else. So I thought that we would today talk about travelling around London, because Oliver, first of all, I know that you travel in the underground a lot.
I've spent, for the last 6 years, I've spent 2 hours a day on the London Underground, and I've come to know it very well indeed. And I have some top tips of how to navigate and some etiquette around how one should behave the London Underground.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought then we could just sort of share those tips and look at exactly what it's really like travelling on the Underground. Pasquale, do you use the Underground much?
Actually, I try to avoid it as much as possible, to be honest. But I do have some tips as well.
Yeah?
Mainly, don't use it.
Really? Why? How come?
Well, I'd have to say it's really hot.
Mm.
There's too many people on it. And it breaks down a lot.
Yeah.
So instead I cycle.
Right.
Which means I save a lot of money too.
Can you read when you're cycling?
No. Because you got to concentrate so you don't get run over by London's crazy drivers.
Yeah, and London's buses, the other public transport.
Yeah,
that's right.
But the best tip I have for cyclists would be for them to take up the entire lane so that buses or vehicles can't squeeze by you.
How do you take up the entire lane?
Just ride in the middle of the lane. And if they honk at you, tough.
Like, so if you get like, then...
Ignore
you
them.
Just kind of go, yeah, so? What are you going to do? Run me over?
Yeah, especially, and then the best part's when, like, they're honking at you, and they're rushing to get somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But really, they're just rushing to get to the queue of the traffic. So when they have to stop and wait at the traffic light, because there's, or just traffic, that's when you stop, and you have to ask them, where are you rushing to? This spot right here, where you have to actually stop and can't actually consume any more gas to get something. So that's when you flip them the bird and cycle away.
Flip them the bird? What do you mean?
Oh,
you
that's mean? Giving them the middle finger.
You give them your middle finger?
No, as like a gesture.
Right.
Like you show them your hand and then you fold away all your fingers except for the middle one.
Right. And that's...
That's flipping the bird.
Right. You're giving the bird sometimes.
Giving the bird.
You're giving... Yeah.
Showing the bird.
Yeah. It's an international gesture, I think.
I think it's
rude. I think it's rude pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, certainly is. Yeah.
But you have to... Yeah, I guess the one thing, though, is that don't just do it to anybody.
Right. Who should you do it to?
Old people, because you can get away from them faster.
Children.
Bus drivers, because they can't get out of their cage.
I don't know, though. I've seen bus drivers get out of their little bus driver cage.
Really? That's,
yeah, they can leap out of those cages pretty quickly.
They can flip. Every bus driver is basically on the edge, I think.
Yeah. Whose telephone is that? That's my telephone, isn't it?
It's your friend, Amina.
It's Amina's calling me. Okay, I'm going to have to pause the podcast. Pause! Okay, so we're back. I paused the podcast, but if you're listening, you couldn't notice... It's the magic of editing, right? So then, can I just maybe just start again in a way, because we got caught up in a tangent, didn't we?
We went over ground there. That's what happened.
We did. We got lost on a bicycle. So, Oliver, just let us know again. How often do you use the Underground?
So I live in Tooting, which is. On the Northern Line in South London, and I have to travel to White City, which is on the Central Line in West London. So I have to use the Northern Line, the Victoria Line, and the Central Line every day, and that's a journey of about 50 minutes on a very good day. On a bad day, who knows?
It could
take all day.
Right. And you work at the BBC, don't you?
And I work at the BBC, that's right.
I thought I'd add that. It just sounds good.
To give me some kind of credibility.
That's right. And Pasquale, you work at the BBC too, don't you?
I just so happen to, yes.
Yeah, wow. So two genuine, actual BBC people on a free podcast.
That's right. That's value for money.
That really is.
That's your BBC licence fee, giving you that little bit extra.
That's right. But Pasquale, you don't use the Underground very often.
No, I really try to avoid it, actually. I'm lucky, though. So I work in White City as well, and I live in the West, in West London, in Fulham, right by Chelsea Stadium, the old Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
So because I live in West London, I choose to cycle, which means a 20-minute cycle ride as opposed to an hour on the tube of death.
But the cycling can be quite...
The vessel of contagion.
Right, the vessel of contagion.
The lymphatic cancer of
of London.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not a fan of the underground?
No, but I have to contend with it. So I do have some tips of my own.
Okay. So let's focus on those tips, shall we?
Okay.
Right. So we're gonna, in this podcast, you're gonna listen to us basically giving you some really important advice on how to use the underground effectively and how to not only survive your underground journey but also maybe enjoy it a little bit too.
That's right. This could be the key to enjoying your London experience.
Okay.
Conquer the transport and you conquer London.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just also add here that we're eating chocolate while recording this podcast. It's probably not such a good idea to eat with, to talk with your mouth full.
True.
So
that's not very English, is it?
You're not supposed to talk with your mouth full in England, no.
But that's the beauty of radio.
Why?
Because you can't see.
Yeah, but you can certainly hear, because it sounds like you're sort of talking like this. Yeah. Well, what I think is that, obviously, if you're using the underground, that's not necessarily going to sound that good, is it?
No, but that did give you an excuse to eat some chocolate, I noticed.
I did. You know what I'm going to do?
Take it away.
I'm going to take the chocolate away here.
No.
It's your fault, you brought it in.
I brought it in as a gift, but I'm taking that gift away from you now. You can have more chocolate when we've finished. Right,
I feel like a dog doing a trick.
Yeah. That's
you'll reward me with chocolate.
I will give you a chocolate reward when this is finished.
Okay.
Right, so let's just start by listing some bits of advice. So, Oliver.
So, some key advice. There's two ticket options on the underground. So you can either have a paper ticket, which you buy in the station, and that takes a bit of time. You've got to slot it into the little ticket hole at the gate and then kind of collect it the other side, and it holds up the flow of the passengers. So what you should do is buy an Oyster card, which is a kind of plastic card, and all you have to do is touch it at the gate and the gate's open. But before you get to the station, there's two things you should do. You should make sure you have some money on your Oyster card, and you can top up online and add money to your account, your Oyster account. And also make sure you've got it out of your pocket before you get to the gate, because otherwise you'll get to the gate and you'll have a queue of people behind you just crushing you slowly into the gate as you try and kind of get your Oyster card out of your pocket.
Right, go on.
I don't want to be sexist, but this particularly applies to women who can spend a good 3 or 4 hours going through their handbag looking for their Oyster card at the gate, I've found.
Okay, so can I just briefly summarise what you just said? It might be useful, people listening to this, right? So we've got the two ways to buy tickets. One is to buy a paper ticket, one is to buy and paper ticket's a bit old fashioned
now,
isn't it? And the other way is to buy the Oyster card, which you get a plastic little credit card thing, and you can top up, you can put money on your Oyster card, and then you just kind of beep your Oyster card on a sensor, and that automatically opens the gates.
That's right.
Okay. But the key thing to remember is that there's like millions of people behind you who want to get through that gate, right? So if you stop at any time on the underground, you're basically holding up London, right? Imagine that all of London is behind you trying to get on that train.
Yeah.
And if you stop, then you're basically stopping London.
You need to be oil in the underground machine, not grit. That's how you should view yourself as a passenger.
That's like, you know, sometimes when the stock market is slow,
mm-hmm.
it's because people prevented stockbrokers from getting to their offices.
it's because there were women rooting through their handbag at the gates. That's
right. So get your Oyster card ready so that when you get to the gate, you can efficiently beep your way in. You don't have to stop at the gate and then look for your Oyster card. Women, we're talking to you. We love you, because you're sexy and everything.
But not your handbags.
But handbags can be a problem.
Yeah, right? Think ahead. Just 30 seconds ahead.
I've got a little side anecdote, actually.
Yeah.
It's happened to me where, like, I'm primed. I've got my pistol out, my Oyster card, ready to shoot.
Yeah.
And there's a gentleman in front of me. He happened to be a gentleman this time, not a woman, I have to say. So it's not just the women out there. And he went to tap in with his card, and it wasn't working. And I went to tap in immediately after him, and mine worked. And actually, what happened was he went through the gate on my money.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, and I had to like quickly rush to the gate, and I almost got crushed.
Yeah.
And almost lost my life in the gate.
Don't be too eager is the moral of that story.
Exactly. So although you want to keep the flow going, you still have to, like, you need a millisecond of reaction time.
Yeah.
Between the passengers.
You gotta be quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a quick, but not too quick. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Gotta get the balance right.
Yeah, because you can get screwed over. And the thing is, the attendants in the underground, they're not very compassionate to that kind of cause.
No, by the time you realise that he's gone through on your card, he's gone. He's probably on a train somewhere. Yeah. And meanwhile, there's 45 people behind you who hate you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because your card won't work.
Right. So, yeah, that's a common problem. If, like, I'm behind a guy, and the guy's Oyster card doesn't work, and I press my Oyster card on the thing, and then the gates open. He goes through on my Oyster card. I'm left there stranded because the gates have closed and my Oyster card's not working because the computer's going, no, you've already gone through. But I'm like, no, it wasn't me. It was the guy. It was another guy.
And computer says no.
Computer says no.
And you have just broken London.
Yeah, and then London, the economy is screwed because of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, next.
Next, well, what other tips were there? So that was your summary of Oyster cards and ticket.
Yeah, getting through the gate.
You're in the gate now. You're inside.
So you're through. That applies, by the way, whether you're leaving the tube or entering the tube. You know, have your Oyster card prepared. That's important. So, but once you, if you're entering the tube, then you get to the escalators. And there's a key thing to do is if you've chosen to stand and not walk, stand on the right. What you find is tourists don't know this rule and they'll stand on the left, where you're supposed to be walking.
Mm-hmm.
And quite quickly you'll either get a crush of people pushing you down the escalators, which is quite dangerous because the edges are very sharp, and there will be no compassion if you fall.
Particularly bad for your teeth.
Particularly bad for your teeth, yeah.
You've got to take care of your teeth too.
Yeah. And so stand on the right if you're not walking. That's absolutely key.
Okay.
So then you go down the escalators, you reach the bottom, and then you get to the platform. And there's an entrance to the platform. Don't stop there.
Because
there's people coming behind you. You know, this is all about keeping people moving. That's what makes the underground work.
Yeah.
So when you reach the platform, move down. Move along the platform.
Yeah, okay. That's common, very common problem.
With tourists,
particularly with tourists. Because what happens is at the bottom of the escalator, you have, on the left you have like the eastbound platform, on the right you have the westbound platform.
Is that always the case?
Well, no, it could be the northbound.
So why are you saying that?
Well, for example,
you have a T-junction, that's what you have.
You have a junction, you have option often two platforms, and in front of that junction there's a map which shows you which stations you can find if you take that route. And obviously what happens is tourists, they get to the bottom and they go, I don't know, do I want to go east or west? And they stand in front of the map and they look, you know, very slowly. Fair enough, it's a new city.
Well, it's probably talking and laughing and not really concentrating.
And just enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
How dare they?
Having fun.
Maybe maybe the thing is they shouldn't do it between like 7 and 9 in the morning.
They should be banned.
Right?
No tourists between 7 and 9
in
the morning.
No, you should have
to
do
like
a test.
And then like 5 and 7 in the evening.
You should need a license. It's like umbrellas. You should need a license to operate on the underground within certain times of the day.
Right.
As you should need a license to own an umbrella.
What you're suggesting is there needs to be some sort of immigration, some customs officials at the opening to it.
No, you need to get
to an underground station, and they check your passport, and if you're foreign, you're not allowed. What are we saying here? What kind of policy is this? This is terrible.
No, you could do it. You could have an Oyster card an approved Oyster card. You could only get access to the Oyster card if you pass a test, and that Oyster card only works between 7 and 9.
Okay, I don't know if this policy would work. No. I don't think it would be a success.
No, I think. But did you get a point, right? The idea is that when you get to the bottom of the stairs, your initial reaction is like, if you're not sure about east or west, just pick a direction. just get the hell out of the way, basically. Just go left, because you can always come back if you're wrong, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is go with your gut.
Keep it moving.
Go with your gut. You know, think, I need to keep it flowing.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I think West London's cool. I'm going to go west.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm on a north-south line. I'm like, I'm not going to go south.
It's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Just choose your direction and just go. Go with it. If you get it wrong, you'll have to loop round and get back to where you started. It's fun. It's like an adventure.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so also, when you get onto the platform, you must move down the platform, right? Because the other problem is people, they get onto the platform and they're like, I'm here. I've arrived at the platform. That's it. Now I just wait for the train. No. that's not the end of the journey. You need to then move down the platform, because again, the rest of London needs to get onto that platform.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. You know, it's quite helpful because, like, the underground kind of staff have conveniently painted giant a box, yellow box on the ground with, like, yellow X's.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, like, do not stand in this area.
Yeah.
So just pay attention to, if you're standing on a yellow X, you shouldn't be standing there.
No. Yeah. And if you get pushed onto the tracks, then you deserve that.
Exactly.
Sarcasm, ladies and gentlemen. That was
sarcasm. No, that's sarcasm. Actual. That's a genuine belief.
That's even extra sarcasm there. British irony, right? How do you say that in Canada?
I don't know. I still don't know what it means.
Like, okay.
I'm still getting to grips with
weird British humor.
And that in itself was ironic. See, yeah. See how he's layering it.
Too much irony. It's like, I feel sick.
Is that bad for your diet?
I think so.
Guinness has got a lot of irony in it.
Spinach has lots of irony in it, I think. okay, so, Oliver.
Yes. So that's kind of the basics for people to know. But I have some particular tips for what you do when it's crowded on the underground, because it is extremely crowded at particular times of day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come on to etiquette later, but yeah. Here are just some sneak tips. So firstly, if it's a very crowded platform and it's a busy time of day and you're worried that you won't get on the train, go and stand where the exit is.
Because wait a second, that's contradicting information, is there?
No, the exit, that's the entrance where we've just moved down.
What about those tubes that have, like, entrance exits?
Very, very rare. Okay, very rare. Unlikely that those tubes will be particularly busy.
Okay.
So you have to find where the way out sign is.
Yeah.
And then, because regular commuters will pick the carriage that's closest to the exit, because they can quickly get off and straight to the escalator.
I'm confused.
It's a super user.
Like,
you're like an advanced user of the underground.
This is advanced level. Yeah. I'm not.
He's like a black belt.
Intermediate.
Yeah. You don't like the Matrix? Yeah. You're like Neo. You're Keanu Reeves in the Matrix.
I am the one.
You kind of look like Keanu Reeves too, mate.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is that to find a quiet part of the platform.
No, you have to find the carriage where most people will get off, so that you can get on. And the carriage nearest to the exit is where most people will get off.
So find the exit so that when the train comes in, the doors will open. Most people will get off near the exit.
Yeah, because the regular users will pick a carriage that is where the exit is at the kind of their destination station.
Right.
They're the traveler super users find the shortest point from A to B.
Exactly, which is what I do. That's absolutely key to your tube experience.
You're a super user.
I sometimes go the opposite way to the way the London Underground staff want me to, but I'm down a kind of shortcut.
Whoa.
But let's not get into that.
That's too complicated.
That's sexy.
Yeah, that's hot.
It's, yeah, I'm excited.
Okay. But that's,
he goes into one. No man's land. You know where it says no entry? That's where he's going.
Yeah. Straight down there.
You know, at the end of the platform where there's a sign that says, do not go here because it could be dangerous?
Yeah.
It could be hazardous? You're like,
I live
you,
beyond
go
that
in,
point.
You go in there all the time.
Yeah. I stand there. I sometimes just drive the train.
Okay.
Because then you're always going to see it.
Because he drives it a bit faster than the actual conductors do.
It's getting ridiculous. This is becoming a little bit ridiculous.
Okay.
Let's get back down to.
That was a genuine tip, though. Stand, you know, where the exit is, because you'll probably then get a seat on that carriage because it will empty.
Okay.
So that's one point. Right. Secondly, there are yellow lines along the edge of the platform where you're not supposed to stand in front of, because that's, you know, that's a safe distance. Where those yellow lines are worn is where the doors will be, because people get out of the carriage and step on the yellow lines and wear them down.
Where the yellow line is worn, where the paint has started to wear away.
Yes. Because that's funny, because I was going to say the reverse. I was going to say, if the train across the platform comes in before yours does, it's an indication as to where the doors will line up.
You could compare, that's true.
Right?
Oh, okay.
So that's a kind of like the reverse of what he's saying.
If it's an open platform, which is not often, actually.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
So if you're one of those stations where there's like both platforms
face to face,
look at where the other train stops, you can see the doors.
That is a good tip.
Yeah. In Japan, they actually have markings on the ground.
Yeah, little queue lines.
Yeah. Yeah, they tell you exactly where to stand. No messing around. None of this chaos that we have in London. Instead, they have clear markings on the platform that show you exactly where the doors will stop. And even for different types of trains, it's crazy. They're organised.
they're super organised.
Yeah.
But that's a good tip. Where the yellow lines are worn, there will be the doors, so you can know exactly where to stand.
Because people have like regularly got off there and they step onto the yellow line, and the yellow line gets worn away.
Exactly.
Do you like to step on the yellow line just to kind of perpetuate that?
Exactly. Kind of exactly. I like to increase, because they repaint those yellow lines sometimes. Oh, when they do it on the Victoria line, I'm thrown. It really upsets me. So I like to get those down, those worn a little bit.
Okay.
So that's a useful tip. The third tip is, if it's really, really busy, which often happens when there's delays and things, and you know you're not getting on the next train,
mm-hmm.
what you do is you stand at the front of where that train is, at the platform, and you watch it as it leaves the platform. You look at each carriage as it zips past, and you see the emptiest one, like, the second to last carriage is the emptiest. You walk down the platform, and you stand there and wait for the next train, and then you'll find you can get up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, that's another super user tip.
That's a super user tip. This is advanced stuff.
Maybe we shouldn't start at this level.
I think
we should
wind it back to NTK.
Okay, well, let's keep going, right? But what I'm going to do is, when I edit this, at the beginning, I'm going to just give everyone a really simple version of this, and then they can listen to this conversation.
Okay.
You know, so the useful advice will come right at the beginning of the episode, and then they can just listen to us talking sort of bullshit. It's not bullshit, but, you know, having fun.
We're elaborating.
Yeah, elaborating, yeah. Exactly. So can I just clear that up?
Yeah.
You okay, oh God, it's confusing, isn't it? Right, so you're at the on the platform. It's very busy. You can't get on the train, so you go to like the end of the platform, so you can then watch that train, which is full of people leaving, and you look in the train, and you find the
as it goes past. You'll notice that one of the carriages is probably likely to be emptier than the others because there's been no entrances there or something, yeah. On that journey.
Yeah.
So you watch the carriages go past. You notice which one was emptiest. Then you kind of judge where roughly that will be on the platform, and you walk down and stand. So when the next train arrives,
excuse me,
you're outside the emptiest carriage.
Super user, how many paces is one carriage length?
For me, that's a good question. It depends which train and which tube line you're talking about.
Oh wow, this guy's got stats.
It's unbelievable. Right? It's how much have you been thinking about this?
I spent 10 years on the 10 years, 2 hours a day.
Now you know why I don't take the tube.
Yeah, because you'll become. Like
you wasted 10 years of
there's a lot of my brain dedicated to this expertise.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. You should become like a consultant.
Mm. I could be a consultant traveller
for giving people advice on using the underground. And this is good knowledge. Anyway, let's carry on, shall we?
They're just my three little extra advanced
those
tips.
Are like secret advanced tips for using the underground.
Yeah.
Okay, and the basics really are just like, don't stop moving.
That's important.
Keep moving. Like when you get off the train, keep moving. Don't stop, because everyone else is going to have to stop too. If you have to stop, get out of the way, like get right against the wall.
Yeah.
So everyone,
like you're on a cliff edge.
Yeah. Like get right back against the wall and let people go past you. Don't just stop in the middle of the platform. Yeah. And never ever, if you're in a large group, never congregate.
No.
You don't have a meeting on the platform. It's crazy. You're stopping London from operating.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Basically, you're like a blood clot.
Yeah.
And then London's going to have a heart attack. That's good.
Okay.
So, okay, that's getting on and off the train. But what about once you're in the train?
Mm.
Okay, we can come to that, because this comes down to etiquette. Right. So there's a lot of etiquette you need to know about on the train.
Okay.
So I think first thing, the important thing is when you're getting on the train, let the passengers get off the train first. That's absolutely key. How do they get off the train when you're trying to get on? Wait till it's emptied, and then you can enter the carriage.
Yeah, which means don't stand in the middle of the doorway.
Exactly, stand aside.
Let other passengers off the train before you try to get on.
Before boarding the train, as the announcement goes.
Like, please let passengers off the train before
attempting to board the train.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just basic politeness.
It is, exactly. It's like when someone holds a door open, you know, you don't try and go through it whilst someone's coming the opposite direction. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of like drinking your glass of water and trying to fill it at the same time.
It's mad. It's impossible.
That's just insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's only a crazy person would do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Then, when you do get on the train, don't stop. Don't stop at the doors. There's about 50 people behind you trying to get on.
Mm.
Move down inside the carriage.
Yeah.
That's very important.
That's another announcement that you will hear on the underground. You know, it's like, please move down inside the carriage, please. You know, this is a Central Line train to Ealing Broadway. Please move down inside the carriage. And then the driver kind of goes,
There may be some delays on the central line today. We're currently experiencing a signal failure at White City. I'll give you more updates as they come to me. Thanks very much.
You know, but normally, if you're on a train, the speakers aren't very good, so it normally sounds a bit like this.
Ealing Broadway, signal failure, White City, thank you.
I have to say, though, they're always really polite.
Yeah.
It's amazing how polite those announcements are.
Yeah, really?
Not always.
No, come on. I think they get classes in politeness.
Like, sorry to bother you, but I'm afraid there might be a few delays on the underground today. Terribly sorry. You know, would you like a biscuit, perhaps? You know, they don't do that, though,
no,
do they?
No, no biscuits. They're just very apologetic.
Okay.
Right. Like sometimes it's their fault.
Sometimes they're funny, like they make jokes and things. Like, I've heard some very sarcastic tube drivers, like, you know...
Would the gentleman in the brown coat who tried to obstruct the doors please remember that doing so can actually break the underground? Don't do that again in the future, thank you.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I had one who was like, please, ladies and gentlemen, do not obstruct the doors. It can cause delays to your journey. And then when someone did do it, the next announcement was, just to let the gentleman in the brown coat know, the big slidey things on the side of the train are called doors. Which is quite good.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so etiquette.
So we're in the train now, right? So you've moved down the carriage.
Inside
really key.
The train, yeah.
And if it's really busy, what would be really helpful is if you take your backpack or your satchel, or whatever you've got hanging off your shoulder, actually off your shoulder.
Backpacks in particular.
Yeah,
that's
backpacks
really
are the worst. They're the worst offenders. Mm. They just take up basically another human body space.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So just take it off your back and stick it in between your legs on the floor, please.
Yeah.
Job done.
Job done.
It's safe, it's secure.
Exactly.
You're making space available.
Yes.
Yeah. So that the bag one is absolutely crucial. Mm. Next is another bit of etiquette which is important and often not observed by many passengers, is if you spot someone who is either elderly or disabled or injured or perhaps a pregnant woman, you really should give your seat up to that person.
Yeah.
Because they need it more than you do.
Yeah.
And you'll often notice people will stare at their books and not look up and can ignore people who require a seat, and that's not done.
What about fat people?
Fat people, no, that's their decision to get fat. They have to just deal with it.
Fair enough.
Okay. Perhaps they might lose weight by standing up and thus become less fat.
Are you saying that fat people don't deserve to get a seat?
No, if they're there first, they do, but I'm not giving up my seat to a fat person.
The thing is, right. How do you know if a fat person's disabledly fat?
That's tricky. Or pregnant. I mean, if you get up for someone who's just a bit fat, not actually pregnant, that's embarrassing, and it often happens.
Well, it can be terrible.
The pregnant or fat question is actually...
That can be a very difficult decision.
Yeah.
Like, there's two difficult decisions to make. One is, when you see someone who comes on, you think, that's a pregnant woman, shall I give her my seat? But then it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is she pregnant, or is she just fat?
Yeah.
And if she's just fat, and you go, would you like a seat? She's gonna be offended.
She's gonna know that you think she's pregnant when she's fat.
That's right.
Yeah.
The other one is how old does
exactly.
a person have to be to qualify as elderly? Like if you see sort of a grey-haired guy, a grey-haired man get on the train, and you think, oh, he's quite old, he might need a seat. And if you say to him, would you like a seat? Sometimes he will be really offended because he's like, I don't need a seat. I'm not old.
That's just because he's having a bad day.
Yeah. No, no, no. What you've basically done is walked up to a stranger and said, excuse me, you look old. And no one likes to be told that.
Yeah,
no,
you look
actually,
old. You look like your legs don't really work anymore.
You look so old, you need to sit down immediately.
No. That's not how I say it at all. I think it's just a polite thing to do.
Yeah.
And you're just offering a seat. It's like, you know, maybe London in the 1850s. It's the kind of thing you would do.
You mean, sort of like, I noticed that you're rather advanced in years. Would you care to use this seat?
Yeah, I respect my elders.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe. I still think it's a tricky one. It can be insulting.
I guess. I would say it's easier to kind of do it with the elderly. maybe the fat man, fat woman. I guess if the fat man, you just don't offer it because he's obviously, he's not pregnant.
Yeah.
And then if it's a fat woman, well, you know, it's like it's 50-50.
What about if there's a really attractive girl? She's not pregnant. She's not pregnant. She's not injured. She's not old. She certainly isn't disabled. In fact, you know, she's quite the opposite of that. Would you give her your seat? As a kind of like, hey, do you want to sit
a fat
here?
Woman?
No, just a really attractive woman.
I've seen guys do that and it looks sleazy. I wouldn't do that.
Really?
Just because she's good looking doesn't mean you give her your seat. What about the ugly girl next to her?
Yeah.
She deserves a seat just as
much. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference.
It's like being beautiful isn't a disability.
No.
That's true. What I guess I'm saying is like
I would offer my lap.
Right.
Not my seat, my lap. I was like, would you like to sit on my lap?
She'd sit on me.
She might give you a slap around the face for that.
Or she might sit on your lap.
She might do. She might do that.
I would only do that if she had like a particularly large number of shopping bags.
Okay.
And I, you know.
Which is often the case with a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
For some reason. Beautiful women are mostly on mobile phones and carrying shopping bags. Right.
But basically, my question really was, in London, is it common to do this sort of gentlemanly thing?
No.
Of if a lady gets on the train, do you offer her your seat? And no, you don't.
You look sleazy. I think
it just makes you look sleazy.
Yeah. Because you're saying, I would like to have sex with you. This is step one.
Yeah.
That's what offering your seat.
Yeah, it's not really that gentlemanly, is it?
No.
Although, one thing that would be nice, for example, if you're sitting in a row, in a seat, there's three seats available, and you sit in the middle one, right? And then at the next stop, two girls come on, and then you would like for them to sit together. Then that's a nice gesture, is to shift over a seat so that they can have two seats together.
That's very true. Yeah,
very good.
That's not sleazy.
I often swap places with someone so they can sit with a friend.
That's really good. That's like,
they're often
really
very grateful.
Really good behaviour.
The worst, though, is when you stand up so they can sit next to each other, and then as they shuffle along, someone else sits down, and then you've lost your seat.
Yeah, you've got to be vigilant.
At that point, you punch whoever sat down in the face.
And then you tell them that's not how musical chairs works.
Yeah, that's not cheap etiquette.
You say, I've been using the Underground for 10 years, okay? You don't do that.
No, as you sort of smash their teeth down their throats.
This is what happens when you steal someone's seat on the Underground, buddy.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So how would you diffuse a situation where like someone's giving you attitude, because this has happened to me and I didn't know how to react, right? So I was stepping aside prior to getting onto a train. I was stepping aside to let the passengers off, and this woman would not kind of shuffle over with me, and she was getting very angry and kind of muttered some kind of unpleasant stuff to me, and I was like, well, it's like, I didn't know what to say, so I kind of said, well, I'm trying to let the passengers off. I was like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And she was giving me some serious like attitude. So I was like, how would you have approached it?
I'd have probably punched her in the face.
Come on now.
No. I don't know what she said.
She probably said, oh, you horrible man. Why did you move in front of me?
Because she thought I was like trying to push her over, when in reality I was just trying to like get out of the way of the passengers, right?
Yeah.
Which would just increase the flow.
I guess, as a Londoner, I think the first word that would come out of my mouth there would be sorry, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry seems to be the word that applies in all those situations. So if you bump into someone by accident, oh, sorry. Or sorry. And it depends on how you say the word sorry. Because you can say sorry, and that's like, what's the matter with you? You know, you can use it as a term of abuse.
That's a way of saying, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not, you know, like, you, why are you upset? I shouldn't even be saying sorry. It's like, well, sorry, like really sarcastic. Or you can be really genuine, like, oh, sorry. You know, oh, usually preceded by, oh, or oops, oops, sorry. Oh, sorry. Or you could be like really apologetic, which would be like, oh God, I'm really sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't, you know, I thought you were pregnant. You know.
Yeah. I thought you were so old you needed to sit down immediately.
I thought you were old. I thought you were injured.
I thought your face was disabled.
I thought your head was injured, but it's just your head. I'm really sorry. I do apologize. But normally sorry. So if someone steps on your foot on the Underground, what do you say? Do you say
you look at them and expect them to say sorry?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't often apologise to them for them standing on my foot.
Don't you know?
Though instinctively, sometimes you do say it. Oh, sorry, when you're the one who's been wronged.
Oh, the victim.
Yeah. If you're a victim and you say sorry sometimes, it's just a London's instinctive reaction.
Over-sorrying is an issue.
Abundance of sorrying. It's like outbreaks of sorrying.
Yeah.
There's like a sort of,
Yeah, so I basically said I was just trying to let the passengers off. I'm like, and I did say sorry, actually, I did.
Yeah.
And, but still, she was very unpleasant.
Sometimes people are just unpleasant. Mm. This is the day-to-day experience.
Yeah.
You just have to deal with unpleasant people, don't you, Oliver?
You do. Like, that happens often. I have many tales about it, but they're X-rated tales for this
podcast.
They're
too rude.
They're too rude. They involve Londoners swearing at each other.
Really? Londoners actually swearing at each other?
Yeah.
That would be a good podcast.
Mm.
Well, they were using some very extreme language.
Swear words.
Okay. Cuss words.
That's American English, right?
Yeah. Cussing.
Yeah. Okay. That would be a separate podcast entirely.
It would.
Yeah. About rude words. Mm. An X-rated swearing podcast.
A sodcast.
Sodcast. Okay. Sod, by the way, is a swear word, but anyway, we'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Right, so etiquette guide. We're in the train.
More etiquette. Personal hygiene is key. You have very little space on the train. So if you haven't washed and you've got extreme body odour, that's really quite, that can actually be, and this is not a joke, this can be genuinely really quite unpleasant for someone. So if you're standing, that you're packed into a crowded train carriage, someone right next to you can absolutely stink and there's no way of getting away from them.
There's no escape.
No escape. It could be their breath, actually. That was what I had yesterday.
Horrible.
I was sitting and this guy was talking across me to someone on the opposite side and his breath was, I had like maybe 20 minutes of him breathing on me. It was absolutely disgusting.
What, because he had bad breath?
He had halitosis, yeah.
Right. So
I love that word.
That's not halitosis.
Halitosis.
Yeah. That's the medical word, isn't it?
For bad breath.
But did he have a medical condition or was he just,
I didn't ask actually.
He just talks too much maybe.
Doesn't drink enough water probably.
Was anything flying out of his mouth when he spoke?
Spittle.
Words.
Other than words?
No.
Sometimes, as well as the bad breath, you get bits like.
Oh yeah,
bits.
That would be bad if he was kind of spraying me with saliva.
Oh god.
You know, he didn't do that.
Did you feel? Did you want to offer him a chewing gum?
No, I didn't have. I was on the way back from football, so I was in my football kit, and I didn't have any chewing gum. But I was going to offer him my seat, or actually say to him, "You need to brush your teeth."
Did you feel like maybe sort of punching him in the face?
I did think about punching his teeth down his throat.
You've got anger management issues. Jesus, man.
Yeah, it's a fine line on the tube between an enjoyable journey and a
violent assault.
Murder.
Yeah, and a violent assault.
Manslaughter.
Commuting and violent assault are close.
Okay, so basically, you know, be aware of your own personal hygiene. Get some chewing gum, brush your teeth.
Yep.
Mostly wash, though. It's mostly about body odour.
Don't try to hang on to the bars above your head, because that means you're exposing your armpit.
If you smell,
So just like maybe just walk around like a penguin.
Yeah.
With like your armpits sealed as tight as possible.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that may work against you because it's just building up the heat and, I don't know. Just take a bath.
But walking like a penguin is a skill, which is very useful on the underground because you don't have a lot of space to move around in. You have to shuffle, don't you? There's a lot of shuffling. And King Penguins, Emperor Penguins, you know, the North Pole, they sort of shuffle around. That might be a good idea. They should introduce penguins onto the underground. Just to teach people how to walk effectively. It's like, you know, they could do training sessions with emperor penguins.
They can't do stairs.
No, they can hop. They hop up the stairs.
No. That's the escalators. That's the beauty of it. As long as the penguin stood on the right, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
So that's a possible idea for the London Underground. They could introduce penguins to teach people how to shuffle.
A training day, maybe.
Yeah, penguin training day.
Yeah. What other etiquette do we have? Pardon?
If you're a fan of music.
Yes. Not listening to your... two things on this one.
Okay.
Firstly, if you've got a mobile phone that has a speaker built in, don't use it. No, you don't want everyone on that train carriage doesn't want to hear your music.
You mean don't play music through your phone without headphones?
Exactly. Which does happen.
Yeah.
Teenagers particularly. To be honest, they shouldn't be allowed.
What is it between the age of 13 and 19 that just makes people act like dicks?
Hormones.
It's hormones.
Genuinely, there is an answer to that.
Okay. And to be fair, it's not all the teenagers, and no. Some of them are okay. But like, you do get a lot of like young people on the underground. God, I feel so old suddenly.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'd give you a seat.
You would, wouldn't you?
That's how old you are.
But we do get a lot of people on the underground and on buses. They decide that they should play their music loud.
Yeah.
Through the mobile phone, like no one cares. We don't want to hear your music.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like it's not as cool as back in the day when you had a ghetto blaster on your shoulder.
Yeah.
At least it sounded better. Now it's this dinky little phone with a little speaker. And like, bass. I can't even tell what your hip hop sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. No bass.
No bass. It's all about the bass.
So that's you need bass on the underground. Anyway.
So that's one thing. The other is if you are using headphones, don't turn it up so loud that everyone can still hear your music, which happens often.
Don't turn it up loud.
Yeah. Too loud. I understand it has to be loud so you can hear it over the noise of the train. But you don't want to necessarily be able to hear the kind of
that's
exactly like that, just this repetitive annoying sound. Yeah,
yeah. And then after you go like
it could be,
yeah.
But what was that?
I don't know, it's like a really banging sort of house, like, techno tune.
A good way to...
that... that's where, in a nightclub, everyone puts their hands in the air. Like, hands in the air.
Yeah, that's where you come up.
Put your hands up in the air. Put your hands up in the air.
Yeah, anyway, that's annoying.
That's about etiquette. But a good way to deal with that, if you can hear someone's beat like that... Yeah. You start nodding your head in time with it, like this. You can't see this on the podcast, but you just start to tap your foot maybe and move your head in time.
Mm.
And then, bit by bit, other passengers might do that.
Yeah.
So the person who's listening to their music, bit by bit, sees everyone in the carriage moving to the rhythm that they think only they can hear. And then they realise that they can, you know, it's too loud.
Yeah.
And they turn it down because they feel embarrassed.
Really? What if they turn it up because they're like, yeah, grooving to
it's kind of funny, then everyone's going to really get into it.
So what you're saying is that when you're sitting next to someone with headphones on, you can hear their annoying music.
Yeah.
Then what you should do, actually, you're saying don't just tell the person to turn the music down. No, you should actually...
You can do that, but they might react badly.
They might violently. They might punch you in the face.
They might punch your teeth down your throat.
What you should do is you should start maybe tapping your leg or tapping your foot or nodding to the music.
Visibly moving to the
And then rhythm. He will look at you and he'll think, funny, that's amazing. What a coincidence. He's nodding at exactly the same speed as my music.
Yes.
And
I think you should drum solo on their knee.
Use their knees as a drum kit.
Yeah, like along to their beat. They'll be like, do you mind?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe just add some singing to the track or something.
Maybe start freestyling over it.
Break dancing.
Yeah, break dancing on the train. You should do that, yeah. Maybe caterpillar down the carriage.
There's no space for
or punch their teeth
down their throat. Or punch their teeth down their throat.
Is that why English people have such bad teeth?
We keep punching each other's teeth down each other's throats.
Exactly. We've got to the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah.
This is, again, sort of sarcasm. English people don't really punch each other's teeth down each other's throats much.
Much, but they do have bad teeth.
It's true, we do.
They try really hard, though.
What, to have good teeth?
No, to punch each other's teeth down each other's throats.
Do we? We really want to.
At times.
But we kind of shouldn't, so we don't. That's that thing about English people, where either we're gentlemen, like polite and nice gentlemen or ladies or whatever, or we're like violent hooligans. It's sort of somewhere in between. Either you're Prince William or you're...
His brother.
Prince Harry. You're either really nice, gentle, sort of polite guy, or you're a brutal hooligan.
Part-smoking Nazi Halloween costume wearing...
wearing psychopath. No, that's not fair. Harry, obviously, is on the gentleman's side as well. I was thinking more kind of like, I don't know, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I'm not a royalist, sorry.
Okay, that's fine. So, Ollie, you're texting now.
I'm trying to find out where I have to leave shortly to go for a meal.
Okay.
To find out where to go.
Okay. Let me just take over here. So we've got we've just done the music, we've done the personal hygiene, smelly food, right? Now, you shouldn't really go on the underground with, for example, a kebab.
A kebab?
That's very true. Mm. That's a particularly annoying thing to do.
I like to call them shish taouks, but you guys call them kebabs.
You call them shish taouks?
Yeah, shish taouk. Shish. Instead of kebabs, we call them shishes.
Okay.
So I don't know, that's a very, like, a kebab is like, yeah, right. But yeah, I guess those are quite smelly.
Yeah.
Thing is, like, sometimes in London, you're often faced with a commute, and you know that anywhere you want to get to in London will take you an hour.
Yeah.
Like, no matter where you're going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's an hour, right? So that's an hour of your life gone.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're like, what can I do in that hour? I'm like, oh, yeah, let's have a snack or a dinner on the run.
Yeah.
So it's a really difficult decision, you know, to eat or not to eat on the tube.
Sometimes you have to eat because London life is so busy.
Yeah.
You don't have an opportunity to eat if you're going somewhere. You have to eat on the underground. Mm. And your only choice is to take a kebab or take a sandwich or a McDonald's or something.
Yeah, so let's think of some non-smelly foods.
Well, I was going to say a banana,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, but it depends on how ripe it is.
It does depend on how ripe it is, but also it depends. When you finish the banana, you've then got a banana skin, and that's a potentially dangerous item to drop on the floor of the underground. Because especially if you've ever played Super Mario Brothers, or if you ever watched like a Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny cartoon, we all know the dangers and pitfalls of stepping on a banana skin. So don't drop banana skins on the platform on the underground.
Have you ever stepped on one?
I have stepped on a banana
skin. They're really slippery, aren't they?
Yeah, I slipped.
Yeah, me too. It's not just a cartoon thing. They're genuinely a hazard.
I knew a woman who worked in somewhere. And I knew a woman once who actually slipped on a banana skin. She fell right over on her head.
She died?
No, she's all right. She survived. But she fell all the way over onto her head. Landed on her head. Like,
it's hazardous. It's dangerous.
Dangerous banana skin. So, smelly food. Don't eat smelly food on the underground. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Right. Now, I've got another one that I think is possibly a little too extreme for some people, but I don't like to talk on the train.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about other people's conversations, people talking really loudly. I'd rather, it's a quiet, calm place to read a book and to maybe read a paper, one of the free papers they give out.
Yeah.
But people who kind of talk and treat it like a kind of bar, no.
Yeah, it's not a social club.
It's not a social club.
So you don't talk to people?
No. Even if I'm travelling with someone I know, I often find it that I sometimes would like to say, do you mind if we don't talk?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read a book.
So, that's interesting because, like, a lot of the students who I meet who come here, they often remark about the fact that on the London Underground, people are really unfriendly. They don't talk to each other. And they think, that's strange. Why don't people talk to each other? Because they're just sitting there, like, often on the Underground, everyone just sits there silent. It's like a horrible atmosphere.
See, I don't mind that.
Why aren't people more friendly? Why don't they talk to each other?
I thought it had to do with, like, certain lines. The tracks were particularly noisy, so the screeching sound of the tracks just kind of makes it even really difficult to understand people when you're trying to have a conversation. So I thought it was partly related to that. But I find that really difficult because, like, I constantly feel tempted to have a little bit of a chat. So if you feel no talking, what about eye contact?
No
eye contact.
Why would you?
So this is like the tube of shame.
It is. The tube of shame.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think that in London, people are aware that, for example, they're going to have a long journey on the underground. And, like, the worst case scenario is you get on a train and you know you're going to be on that underground train for, say, 45 minutes. What you don't want is for the person next to you to start talking to you, because then you're kind of obliged to talk to that person for the rest of the journey. And it's going to be really awkward. They say, so, where are you going? And you're kind of like, oh, God, do I have to have this
conversation?
Yeah,
but I'm not talking about talking to strangers.
Ah.
I mean, he's talking about not even talking to his friends.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think I take your point, though. You don't want to talk to strangers. That would be absurd.
Yeah.
But but if you're talking to people that you know, if you get on there with a friend, you can have really loud conversations across the carriage.
Yeah.
You know, chatting's okay, but people who take over the carriage and, you know, make everyone else feel a bit intimidated by having a big kind of boisterous conversation.
It's a bit antisocial.
I think it's antisocial, yeah.
Antisocial. So what about, in terms of consumption on the train, I guess obviously it's now been banned, so it's illegal to drink alcohol on the train.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about having a little cheeky drink?
Fine. No problem.
I don't really mind. It's more about the behaviour than the actual drinking of alcohol.
Mm.
So if you're responsible, if you're having a drink of a beer or something on the underground, that's okay. But don't start getting really loud and start sort of shouting at people or, you know, upsetting other people. Don't start doing those things, because that's just antisocial. So you can have a drink on the underground, I don't mind. Mm. But just don't be antisocial.
That's a general good advice.
But sometimes I see that when people drink beer on the underground, I notice other passengers kind of rolling their eyes or looking like really, really annoyed, because they're like, oh, look at them breaking the rules of the underground.
Exactly, but it's not causing them. They're not smoking.
Yeah.
You know, just having a drink. It's not damaging anybody. It's just...
Have you ever been tempted to smoke on an open platform?
Yeah, I've done. Yeah, I spoke to White City before.
Really?
Yeah.
Badass.
You're seriously badass.
That's badass.
Like, didn't you get like an announcement sort of going, ding dong, would the tall gentleman in the brown coat please stop smoking his cigarette? This is a non-smoking platform. Please put your cigarette out immediately or we will be forced to destroy you. Or terminate you, or something like that. So please stop smoking, thank you. Ding, ding.
Or punch your teeth down your throat.
Would the gentleman in the brown jacket please put out his cigarette, or we will send a member of Transport for London staff down onto the platform in order to punch your teeth down your throat. Thank you. Ding, ding. That might happen.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we need to probably wrap this up now.
Yeah, I think there's little more advice. It would start to get back very advanced if we were to go on much longer.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, what's the key one?
The key piece of advice? the final piece of advice, which everyone should be aware of, and it's announced quite often, is that people really should please mind the gap.
Yeah. I heartily agree. Definitely you should mind the gap. In fact, you should mind the gap.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.